This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Matthew Collar in for Henry Lake. I'm going to take a guess. Chris Hine of the Star Tribune covers the Minnesota Timberwolves. I'm going to guess, Chris, that you're a guy that makes a resolution and sticks to it. That's my guess. Is that correct or not?
I personally make no resolution.
Oh, okay. You're no resolution.
I'm not right. because I don't want to feel like crap when I don't follow through on it. I just save myself the disappointment and just don't make one to begin with. So I find it works better that way.
See, for me, if I want to change something in October, I'm not going to wait around. I'll just do it whenever.
Like, right.
I'm not inspired by it. I mean, maybe it's people like us beat guys. Maybe we just become too hardened to everything because our leagues make us work on Christmas and New Year's and everything else. So we're like, oh, is it January? Like, I don't know. What's the date? That happens to me.
Well, that's exactly it. I don't feel it. It does feel different. Like the rhythm of like the holidays feels different than, you know, mid-January. But like, you don't really notice that, like, oh, it's the holidays. Oh, I forgot to make a New Year's resolution. Oh, shit. You know, like, I don't really, you know, see that stuff. Yeah.
Right. I mean, yeah. And I think that we also just, like, lose, some of us just sort of lose that sense of magic of holidays when, you know, the NBA's putting you on, the NFL's putting me on, or, you know, the Thanksgiving. There's many Thanksgivings. And, like, I don't know. I see Charlie Brown Christmas. That looks magical. Anyway, well, let's try this then. Even though you are not experienced in making resolutions, can we make some for the Minnesota Timberwolves? I'm going to start, and you can respond and come up with your own. Mine is be serious. Be serious, because this team has been too unserious this year. You're unserious at the end of the Denver game with Ant getting thrown out of it. You're unserious in playing Brooklyn and putting up a no-show for your home fans. You're unserious against Atlanta. There's been too many of those games where, you know, the loss earlier this year to Sacramento. Just be serious and win the games that you're supposed to win and look like a serious contender, because so far, I don't think they have, Chris.
That is exactly the resolution that I had for them, to be a serious team, because
right.
you have this within you to be a very good contending sort of team. Like, and I don't know what it's going to take to pull that out of them on a nightly basis, or for them to realize it, or if they're, you know, bored, as Chris Finch put it earlier in December. I just don't know what it's going to take for this group to finally play up to their potential. It's one of the more puzzling things this year. They've had it all in front of them. They, you know, they seem to have figured things out late last season and into the playoffs, and we assume they'd hit the ground running, and it's not terrible. It's, you know, 21-13. They're sixth in the West, and, you know, they're not that far out of even the number two seed right now. So it's not like they have to dig themselves out of some huge hole, but they could be playing a lot better and should be playing a lot better, as we all know.
Well, and that comment from Chris Finch, I was offended by the idea that a team that has not gotten over the hump and not reached the finals, which I know our standards get to be high now, which is nice. Not always in Timberwolves history were our standards that high, but you guys haven't won anything. Like, how can you be taking that approach of, oh, well, we're bored, so we just didn't decide to show up tonight? Like, what? You can't do that. And I think that there is an advantage when you get to the playoffs of your seeding and home games and stuff like that. It's probably not what it used to be, but I think that playing hard for the entire season shouldn't be too much to ask for a team that has really high expectations. But does it go deeper than that, Chris? Because I see almost every day a new Minnesota Timberwolves trade rumor, and I haven't yet liked one of them as far as thinking it's realistic and a good idea. But do you think that there needs to be some sort of shakeup here if this team is getting a little bit complacent?
Well, I don't know if the shakeup has to necessarily happen right now in February, right? I think if you're looking at this team right now, you don't make a deal just to make a deal. I think that would be short-sighted and reactionary, so, especially given that they did show the ability to turn on in the postseason last year and make a deep run. So I think if a deal is out there that you think is going to materially benefit this team long-term, not just this season, then I think you make it. I think any move they make right now has to be with the long-term in mind over the short-term. And I think that's where they're thinking in some ways. And I think any short-term move would have to be very low risk, low cost, just because I think at the end of the season, that's when you might want to sit back and evaluate this current core and say, do we need to make a major, major move here in July, as opposed to trying to shoehorn a move that might not fit in February just because you feel like the energy is bad now in early January.
So a couple weeks ago, I was hosting on here, and I probably said to Jace Frederick, who comes on sometimes, you know, a colleague of yours, like, I don't know if they should change anything. I mean, this core group right here has gone to the Western Conference Finals. They could do it again. Like, they'll get it together and figure it out. And it's only more recently that I've thought that something changing would make sense. And it really is around that point guard position. I think, you know, DiVincenzo's trying his best there, but is just not that type of player exactly. And I like the idea of the point star, which is, you know, Anthony Edwards just having the basketball all the time. But this team is not the same when Mike Connolly averages 5 points a game as opposed to whatever it was 2 years ago when it felt like Mike Connolly was still in his prime. Is there a middle ground? Because, I mean, what you're talking about is, you know, people bring up Giannis. They bring up, who did I see today? Jaren Jackson, maybe somebody, some big name. And it's like, I don't know if that stuff's all that realistic for right now, but is there someone who can distribute the basketball a little bit better? Because that's where I feel like when they go through these lulls, that the ball is kind of getting stuck in people's hands.
I think those players are out there. It's all about the asking price at the end of the day. And I think one thing people need to keep in mind here is just because Dante DiVincenzo, for instance, let's take him as an example, just because he may not be the point guard that this team needs or is like kind of the fit that they need, that doesn't mean that the Wolves should, you know, move on quickly from him. And because he is a very good player who was on a very good contract. And if we're just talking in terms of, you know, quote unquote assets, he is a very good asset to have on the team. So I think one of the things that I've seen in just the fan base, and I think moving on from a player like Dante is not properly evaluating and valuing the player that he is and maybe how he is viewed around the league. So I would caution people before they just want to say that he's not the point guard this team needs, that you don't want to just sell short on an asset if you don't have to. And right now, the Wolves don't have to with Dante DiVincenzo, just using him as an example, for instance.
Right, yeah. No, and I totally agree with that. And that's not a guy that I would want to see gone. I just would want to see another player here instead. You know, not like instead of him necessarily, right, but like another player that fills into that role a little bit better so he can be free and he can. And he, look, he's doing a good job shooting three-pointers this year. He's at 38%. If you get that from him all year, like, that's going to be really good for you. So I'm not like an anti-DiVincenzo guy. I'm a pro someone who can get the offense to settle itself a little bit. And to kind of, what I really liked at Connolly's best was it felt like he was the adult in the room. It was like, all right, the kids are acting up. Here comes old Mike, and he's going to settle things down, and he's going to hit a big three, and he's going to make a play defensively. And he's just, you know, he's just not that guy anymore. How would you assess what we've seen? Or how about, even put it this way, Chris, Can you even assess an NBA superstar on January 2nd for their season in the year 2026? Like, can we even do that? Can we even have a conversation about Anthony Edwards? Or are we just too early still in the NBA season to have a discussion about where he's been so far this year?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I think it's a fair discussion because I think we have enough of a body of work for this season to show where his season is going. And one thing about Ant that I think has been a constant throughout his career is every season has always been a little bit different. You know, whether it's last season with the increase in the three-point volume, or, you know, a few seasons ago really embracing trying to be a playmaker and, you know, having the ball in his hand a lot more for the first time in his career, facing all those double teams. Every season has brought a new set of challenges for Anthony Edwards. And I think it's fair to sit here, you know, nearly halfway through the season and ask, you know, what kind of season has this been so far for Ant? And I think it's been, you know, a mixed bag. I think there's been a lot of good, and I don't think on the defensive end of the floor, there's been quite the progress that maybe he and the team have hoped. You know, I think it's still a work in progress when it comes to him having the ball in his hands, making reads, making the right plays. And he admitted the other night after Chicago that maybe part of the reason why this team lacks the energy or the motivation to come out and win some of these games is because his energy waxes and wanes. And we know that that tends to be based on the quality of opponents sometimes. So it's a thing of his that has followed him for basically the entirety of his career at this point. So I think it's been, there's a lot of good that Anthony Edwards does and brings to the table. But there's still stuff that I think he really can still work on if he's going to get to that truly elite tier where you're not talking about him as a second team NBA player, but you're talking about him as an MVP contender. And right now he's still not there.
Yeah. And it's always hard with NBA players who are drafted when they're as young as he was, because I feel like Anthony Edwards has been around forever. And like, he should be a full grown adult by now. How old is this guy? Oh, he's, yeah, all right. Okay. He's like 24. But this is the time though, right? For NBA stars, where the switch usually goes from you're really, really good and still trying to prove yourself to you are truly great. And with Ant, what frustrates me, I think I don't know how you guys felt on the Christmas night game. It was so incredible. He was incredible, back and forth with the greatest player in the world, Jokic. And then to get tossed from the game at the end, I was like, wow, this is Anthony Edwards in a nutshell for me. Like, just these moments where you go, come on, man, like, what are we doing here? Like, that's something you can't do. And what you're talking about is something you can't do if you're on this level, is tonight I'm coming out to play hard. Tomorrow night I maybe not, because we're playing a team I don't take serious. I need it every night to be consistent. But then again, Chris, from a data perspective, highest points per game of his career, crushing it from three-point land, highest field goal percentage of his career. So I don't want to get too harsh about it, because one thing I love about Anthony Edwards is that he plays almost every game. He plays through injuries. He battles. He plays 35 minutes a night. And I also want him to kind of pace himself with the assumption that they could be deep into the playoffs. So how do we weigh all that stuff?
I also take it a step further, and you analyze what they ask him to do in the games too. And so when you have the ball in your hands a lot, that requires a lot of energy and attention, and that's taxing. It is. It's more than, you know, spending the bulk of your possession standing in the corner waiting for a three-point attempt that may or may not come. right? So that I think in turn affects what we've seen from him on the defensive end of the floor. But to your, that's exactly it. It's like that's why it's a mixed bag. It's for as much as you can get on him for not showing up against Atlanta or against Brooklyn. The guy shows up to he does show up to play 70 plus games a year, every year of his career. He has a lot of responsibility. He puts up great numbers at the end of the year, you know, even if he has off nights here or there. And he's generally a very good teammate. He's stepped into a leadership role with this team over the years, and guys like playing with him. So there's obviously a lot there, but I think when you look at his career at 24 years old, it really is now, what is it going to take for you to get into that MVP caliber conversation? Because that not only lifts his career personally, but you get to that level and you start really having some more team success as well. But the thing I remind people often is he is 24. The NBA peak is 28,
yeah,
give or take. He is still three, four, five years away from what is traditionally considered your peak NBA years. So as much as you want to say this is his sixth year, he should have it figured out by now, there actually is still room for him to learn some things that maybe he hasn't quite learned yet, or that it took, you know, Steph Curry, LeBron James. Those guys didn't win their first titles till they were 27.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there is still time and room for him to grow, as much as, you know, people may see the effort on a Wednesday night in Atlanta and be like, oh, he should be better than that.
Yep. A couple of games to prove they are a little more serious coming up. Miami, Washington, Miami again. Chris Hine, well, you didn't make any resolutions, but I wish you a happy new year anyway, my friend. Thanks for taking the time to pop on. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you, Mr. Call. I appreciate you.
Chris Hine, Star Tribune, also wrote the literal book on Anthony Edwards. I'm sure if you've been to a bookstore, you've seen Ant on the shelves. That's who wrote it. So great commentary there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.